Good morning.
Good morning.
Stanza of eight verses there today and pray our way through that. As we get started, I wanted to tell a story on myself. I'm colorblind, so if you think this is too loud, I've got mixed. People really liked it, some not so much, and thought maybe you're seeing something brighter than I am. But I was at the hospital this last week. I went up and find which one I left my key. Ignition, and the vehicle was locked. So I started to. So I knew that our youngest son, Jesse, was home. And on my truck out there, I've got that open, and they were actually open, so I thought, well, I can easily get a wire hanger in, I can get to something, and so I'm going to have Jesse bring me that. And I called him, and he's
God is so good.
Yeah. Interrupt that. That's a good thing. And I, you know, that's all right. I'll find another.
Good morning.
I said, please don't. Just go. God will provide. It's fine. You just enjoy your. Out. So I just thought, well, I've got my Bible with me. While Kim had just gone into a movie with a friend.
You would open your Bibles to Psalm 119. We're going to start in verse 17 and look at.
They would see Sound of Freedom. So I could. Didn't call her, and she's got a spare key. I thought, well, I can call.
Started, I wanted to tell a story on myself.
I'm going to resolve the issue with my truck. And this bright idea came to me.
I'm colorblind, so if you think this is too loud, I've got mixed. Some not so much, and thought maybe it's too loud, and that's okay. I can hear.
I started walking that way, and the Lord stopped me over here. They've got to have a wire hanger somewhere at Goodwill. Goodwill. I'm just starting to get out of the parking lot. There's a grassy area. Before you get to any houses, there's.
I was leaving the hospital, pocket for my keys, realized I didn't have them.
In the parking lot in this home. And I just started praying. The Lord just kind of gently stopped.
So I.
For my provision.
At our youngest son Jesse was home. You
know, started praying.
I can easily get a wire hanger in. I can. Get to the electric lock or the handle or something, and so I'm going to have Jesse.
That window, that vented window in the back, on the frame, because a straight stick wouldn't have done it, to get around the frame and to get to that. It was exactly the length. I mean, it was so easy. Like, it was made to get in my truck. And once again, in a very simple, beautiful way, God just saying, son, I've got you. You know, if you just look to me and trust me, if you just ask, his provision is there. And I needed my eyes opened. It was sitting there the whole time. But my heart, you know, the eyes of my heart needed to remember, wow, open up your eyes. Your God's with you. And he did. It was such a wonderful, wonderful moment. And really, it's not an intellectual issue. I know God's always with me. I know he's always got a plan. I know he if we'll just look to him, you know, he'll guide his children. But it's a heart issue. Sometimes I get a little self-sufficient. You know, even sometimes, occasionally, it's getting much less than it used to be, but occasionally I'll even open the Word of God and just start reading, and God will just say, slow down, son. Let me guide you through this. Let me bring my word to life for you. Ask me. You know, and I need him to do that. It's a heart issue where I'm not depending upon myself, and I'm depending upon the provision God's given me, the Holy Spirit, to bring his word to life for me. You know, I think about how we're all kind of wired differently and see things differently. There's some folks that, you know, and even for me, there's times that people open up the word of God, and it's like a Michelangelo painting. You know, you read a verse, and it's just like, oh, wow, that's with me the rest of my life and on into eternity. That's so powerful, so beautiful. Revealing Jesus Christ, helping me to treasure him. That's so awesome. And there's other times, you know, you just read over a verse and just don't even remember what you read. Yeah, like you're reading Peanuts, like it's a comic strip or something, you know, when it's the Word of God, the written Word of God. So, you know, preaching is that way too. I know that. I know there's times that we hear the Word of God. Preaching is basically the proclaiming of the Word of God. hopefully in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's times, though, that we hear the Word of God preached, and sometimes it just, man, it's not the preacher, it's not the words, but God just bringing it to life in the power of His Spirit and glorifying Himself.
Yeah.
Not making much of any human being.
Amen.
But God glorifying Himself through Jesus Christ. And one of the neat things as God does that is He does a work in our hearts, and He gives us that spiritual sight that we need. And he knows what your need is today as you come here in a way that I can't know. He knows how His Word is going to speak to you. And so I pray for that every week. And not only for you, I pray for me. Believe me, I desperately pray for me. God, speak to my heart today. I need to hear from You. And He's so faithful. You know, throughout Jesus' ministry on the earth, He was not only, in those few years, He was not only healing people of physical blindness, He was healing people of spiritual blindness.
Yeah.
You know, He was opening up people's hearts to see it. Following His resurrection, Jesus, He's speaking to His disciples, and this is Luke 24. I don't have a slide for this, but you're welcome to maybe jot the address down. Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. He said this to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that's written about Me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then He opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures.
Amen.
That's what I am praying for me and you. That He would open our minds, open our hearts, that we would be able to see Jesus in the Scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His names to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what My Father has promised you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He's talking about the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We have that same Holy Spirit to bring the Word of God to life, but we need to have spiritual sight. We need to trust Him and ask Him for that spiritual sight. I know what I lack sometimes for that to happen. It's not lacking the provision of God, it's lacking humility. On my part, that I don't pause and just understand, man, I'm one of His kids, I am redeemed, I've got His Spirit, His Word, His people, but sometimes I do not have the humility that I need to just stop and say, okay, God, I receive that provision because I'm nothing without it, and I so need You, and He's faithful to provide that.
Amen.
We need eyes to see God in His Word. We need eyes to see Him in His Word. We need eyes to see other people, the people in our life through His Word. So we're going to have compassion. If you're going to have compassion on the people in your life, if you're going to have a discernment to know their need, especially their spiritual need, you need God to show that to you in His Word. And we need to see people with compassion. God's Word says in Matthew 9, starting in verse 36, "When He saw the crowd, He had compassion upon them." They were like sheep, helpless and harassed, lost. You know, we need to see people that way. We need to understand people are in need of the Great Shepherd. And we need to see ourselves the way that God sees us in His Word. We need to see, certainly, that He loves us, but also the fact that we are not Him. You know, I think of in Isaiah, there in chapter 6, where Isaiah is given this vision. He sees the presence of God, the holiness of God. And you remember his response, "I'm ruined." Man, when I see the Word of God revealing the holiness of God to me, and I'm just like, oh, Father, I am, You are awesome and I am not. You are all that and I am not.
Yes, amen.
And it helps me to appreciate my salvation all the more that He would save a wretch like me, because He's a holy God and an awesome God.
Amen.
We need to see that in His Word and see His glory in His Word. It is not simply enough to read the Word of God and apply our own intellect and our own thinking to it. We need more than that. We need the Spirit of God to do a work, to provide for us what we can't provide for ourselves through the Word, and to reveal Jesus Christ especially. So we're looking at Psalm 119 today. We've been looking at these stanzas, 8 verses at a time last week, and we need spiritual sight. We need spiritual sight today. We're going to see that here in this passage. So let's read this passage and recognize some things that we might pray for. Starting in verse 17, "Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth, Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Let's just start here in verse 17. Recognize some things we might pray today from the Word of God. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Lord, open our eyes to see that we are your servants, so that you may be glorified. Lord, open our eyes to see that we are your servants, so that you may be glorified. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. That price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are purchased servants of Christ. We belong to Him. And 1 Peter 1 and Galatians 3 both say that Christ bought us with His blood on the cross and that we are servants of Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul, in places like Philippians 1:1, he would write, this letter is from Paul and Timothy. We are servants of Jesus Christ. We are owned by Him. The word servant, it basically means that we belong to another. And we need to see that as we read the Word of God and remember that today, that we are servants who willingly are under the authority of God. We are to serve Him and to be under His direction. You know, I think about when I go to Cracker Barrel. You can go where you want. But when I go to Cracker Barrel, the servant comes up. And they usually introduce themselves often. Hello, my name is, you know, maybe Jesse if he gets the job. He had another interview there. But hello, my name is, and I'll be your server today. I'll be taking care of you. And I think of the words of Jesus saying that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to be a servant, to give His life as a ransom for many. And that if we are to be like Christ, if we are to be like our Master, we are also servants. We serve Jesus by serving other people. Being a servant of God means that we are living for others. We're not living for ourselves. You know, Jesus, in giving His life and purchasing us, He did it not so that we would continue in a self-centered life or in a selfish way, but we would have a life of good works for the benefit of other people and for the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, the Word of God says that Jesus died for all, that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and was raised again. Being a servant, it takes place in your life and mine when we take hold of those resources God has given us. And we use them not for us, but we use them for the people around us for the glory of God. And we do it through compassionate means, through loving means. But to be a servant of God means that we have His compassion on those around us. And as people see you selflessly, sacrificially serving them, putting them first ahead of yourself, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your kids, whether it's your neighbor, as we do that, they see those good works. They see the Father shining that light of the Holy Spirit through us to His glory. To His glory, to His praise. They see that compassion and they glorify our Father for those good deeds. Let's move on to verse 18. Open my eyes.
Yes.
Open my eyes, Father, that I may see wonderful things in your law. Lord, open my eyes to see wonderful things so that I may know you better. You know, we're going to have eternity to see really in more fullness the beauty and the goodness and the wisdom, the amazing nature of the Word of God. But in this world, God wants us to see the Son revealed, that we have the written Word that reveals the living Word, and we need to be seers of wonderful things. There's grace for that. That's all right, brother. That's all right. We need to see the character of Jesus in the Word of God. We need to see His activities in the Word of God. Have your eyes been opened? Have your eyes been opened so that when you see, when you're reading through the text, when you're reading through John 3 and you hear about Jesus and what he did, the extent that he went through to show you the love of the Father and to carry out the love of the Father on the cross. I mean, if it doesn't bring you to a place of amazement and awe and wonder and tears and gratitude. You know, when was the last time that you read about the cross of Jesus and you were just overwhelmed with the goodness and the holiness and the greatness of God? Because if it's not happening, there's a disconnect. And we need His Spirit to bring His Word to life because we should be in awe of that. You know, I think about just daily struggles in the Christian life. I've heard it said that the toughest thing in the Christian life is it's so daily. You know, sometimes we have a great day and we're thinking, I'm on the mountaintop. This is good. I learned what God wanted me to learn and I trusted Him today and He actually used me to share the gospel and it's so great. And then, oh, there's another day. What am I going to do? You know, 2 Kings in chapter 6, it talks about Elisha, prophet of God, and he was given this knowledge of God's activities, and there was this opposition from the king of Syria against the king of Israel and the people, and some folks had a lot of fear. Elisha's servant had a lot of fear. They woke up in the morning, they saw this multitude of chariots and horses coming against them, and he was so upset, and Elisha said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are far more than those who are against us, and he prayed. The Word of God says that he prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the servant and showed him that there was this multitude that the Lord had sent that he did not see in the spiritual realm that were there to do battle on their behalf. And in your life and in my life, God has provided spiritual protection. He has provided provision and power in our lives that we do not see with our physical eyes. But we need to know that that's present and we need to have that come to life. The mighty power of God, that we would see that in our lives and in the Word of God. We need our eyes open to the wondrous things, to the wondrous things of God that He has in store for us in His Word and in our lives each day. And He provides that. He provides it in His timing. He gives us enough light that He determines we need in the moment. Sometimes it's not all that we're asking for, but enough to give us hope. Enough to fill us with joy, enough to help us to understand some things that we don't understand going on in our lives, enough maybe sometimes just to give a word to somebody that needs to hear a word of encouragement. The Apostle Paul writing in Ephesians, he told them, he said, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know Him better. We need that. We need to see wondrous things in the Word of God that we would know Him better, His will and His ways, that we could walk in them. We need Him to open the eyes of our heart, to enlighten our hearts, to enlighten our minds so that we would understand the hope to which we are called in Jesus Christ. Let's continue in verse 19. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. A great prayer to pray. Because I get too comfortable here sometimes. Lord, open our eyes to see that this world is not our home. Our home's in heaven with you. Lord, open my eyes to see that this world is not our home. Our home is in heaven with you. Being a stranger here, just in part, it means just don't get too comfortable. And don't get too attached to comfort here and to the things that this world is offering. You're just passing through. We're here on a very temporary assignment. You know, it is good to enjoy the goodness of God in this world. And we need to go through at His pace. Eugene Peterson, in the Message translation, talking about that yoke of Jesus and taking that upon us. And he says, it's gentle and it's light. And he said, I'm easy to abide with. I'm easy to walk through life with. And God wants us to appreciate that and understand the goodness of His pace and His provision for us. But at the same time, we're not to get too attached to the things of this world, even as we see the goodness of God here. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite books, Pursuit of God, He's got a chapter talking about the blessedness of possessing nothing. The blessedness of possessing nothing other than Jesus in this life. That there's, when your heart is freed up to just fully enjoy Jesus Christ, even as you walk through this world, and you're not shackled anymore to the things here, it's going to be a lot easier to let go when He calls you home. It's just going to be a fullness of joy. And you're not going to be too caught up and too heartbroken that you have to leave. I want that to be me. In John 14, Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I am going to prepare that place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you can be where I am." Then you know, as it continues, He says, "You know the way to where I am going." And He explains to them, He is the way.
Yeah.
He is the truth. He is the life. Jesus has prepared a place for you and for me to spend with Him for eternity. Don't get too comfortable here. Appreciate the goodness of God. Keep spreading the gospel. Stay on assignment here. But understand, listen, the tent stakes are very lightly in the ground. He's going to pull them up pretty quickly. He's coming back soon. And He's going to take us home. I'm looking forward to that. Let's look at those remaining five verses here. "My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. The rulers sit together and slander me. Your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Lord, open our eyes to see the goodness and the beauty of your word, that we may see the glory of Christ and His cross." My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. Have you ever longed for something or somebody so much that it hurt your heart? Maybe a loved one who you desperately wish was with you and they're not. Is that my heart attitude towards the Word of God? That if I'm away from it for too many hours, my heart's broken and I'm just desperate to get back to the Word of God, to hear His voice, to hear from Him. I think about when I was a little boy. My dad was pretty brilliant with tools. He was a tool and die maker, and he had just every kind of tool you can imagine at home. I wish I'd taken him up on the offer to learn how to use more of them than I did, but I would, when he wasn't looking, I would get in the tool shop, you know, I'd get into his tool chest and start opening stuff up and getting stuff out. I had no idea what most of them did, but I would start getting out micrometers and just all kinds of cool stuff that he used and had. But I remember one of the things I thought was really neat, kind of a basic tool, but he had magnetic screwdrivers. And it was really cool. The thing about magnetic screwdrivers, what was really neat is you could get things to move around. You know, you could have all these screws and nails and things and get it on the other side of a piece of plexiglass or whatever, and they'd all be like moving all over the place and following the screwdriver. And I thought that was so cool when I was a kid. Over time, I found out how they magnetize those. You know, they use a strong magnet to create a magnet, you know, and they would magnetize that metal. That's the Word of God for us. That's the Word of God. It is spiritually magnetized, and the closer that we get to it, the more we're drawn to it. Have you noticed that? It's completely satisfying, and yet you want it more.
Yeah.
And God uses that. He uses that to draw us closer to Him. Even as a child of God, though, I sometimes there's obstacles that get in the way. His Word is so good and so beautiful, and He uses it to speak to us and to guide us. And His Word says He rebukes the arrogant. Every once in a while, I get a little prideful. I start thinking I know better than He does. That I should just go ahead and act on my own instead of getting into the Word of God. That I've got to fix for somebody in a situation instead of going to the Word of God. It's kind of like me in that truck. We're at the hospital. The truck's locked. Well, I know what to do. I'm going to get on the phone. No, I know what to do. I'm going to walk to Goodwill. I know what to do. God says, I've got the provision here all along. Son, if you just look, if you just ask me, that's his word.
Yeah.
It's like, I've got the provision, daughter. I've got the provision, son. It's here. I've got my answer for you. Don't be self-sufficient. Look to me. His word is kind of like that car manual Brian was talking about this morning. Yeah, I'm not telling on you, brother. I'm telling on me. Anybody else ever read the manual with your for your car much? If you're a guy, don't lie. You didn't. Most of us didn't. Or I shouldn't. Some of you are smarter than me. You know, we think, I know where the key goes. I know where the turn signal is. I know everything. I've got all the answers for this. I think if we open that manual up, we'd figure out there's probably a lot more about the car we don't know than what we think. God's word's that way. Guys, there's so much more that even those of us who've been walking with the Lord and studying His word for 30, 40, 50 years, and there is so much richness in the word of God that we just have no clue the treasure there. If we just seek Him, say, God, show me. I know You've got a treasure here today. We need to be in that manual, that grace manual, the Bible.
Yep.
See God's provision for us. See how He's at work in our life. Give us spiritual sight that we need to see Him, see ourselves, see the people around us. You know, some of you probably have 20/20 vision. I never have. But none of us apart from God have 20/20 spiritual sight. He's given us those glasses, the glasses of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But He says, well, here you go. Trust me. Trust me. I'll give you sight. We need to take advantage of that provision, to pray as we read the Word of God. God, open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. He's faithful. He's faithful to do it. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, that even if our gospel is veiled, Paul wrote, it is veiled for those who are perishing. The God of this age, speaking of Satan, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's Satan's strategy. Through deception, through other means, he wants to blind people to the greatness of the gospel message. But if you and I will take people to the Word of God, God's not depending on you. He's not depending on me. He's inviting us. When He gives that prompting to you to talk to that relative who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior yet, or that friend or that neighbor, He is not depending on His messy kid. He's entrusted His Word. He's made a commitment to His Word. He's just saying, share my Word. Share who Jesus is. Share their need for Jesus. Tell them about the cross. Tell them about the blood. Open up my promises that I am faithful to forgive them if they will call out to me, if they will believe in their hearts that I raised Christ from the dead. I'll forgive their sins. I'll make them new. God invites us to share His word and to entrust people to His Spirit to take that blinder off that they can see Jesus in the gospel message. Have your eyes been opened? Have your eyes been opened to see Jesus in the Word of God? To see the cross? To see what He did for you there? You know, as we live the Christian life, we're a lot like that servant of Elisha sometimes. We just need to ask God to give us sight. God's so faithful. He's so awesome. I'm convinced all the time, whenever we share praises here, whether it's during the prayer time and we're sharing a praise with our brothers and sisters as Dale is taking those praises and prayer requests, or whether we're speaking in there in the fellowship hall before the service and we're talking about the goodness of God and what He's been doing this week, and I am convinced that every time we do that, there's 1,000 things unseen that our awesome God has been doing that we don't even know. So we pray, God, open the eyes of my heart. Show me your wonder. Show me your presence, God. Show me that you are bringing glory to Jesus Christ in ways that I've been blind to, God. And open the eyes of my spouse who doesn't believe yet. Open the eyes of my child who doesn't believe yet. God, open the eyes of my coworker who doesn't believe yet that they can know that the Son of God has come and shed his blood on the cross to save them. And that they can believe your promises. And that they can stand upon those promises that anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. No matter how ugly their past has been, no matter what they have done, even the believer who has messed up and walked away from God and gone into the far country, that anyone can be cleansed and forgiven and restored. And God is faithful to do it. His grace is so much greater than our sin. No matter who you are, we can stand on those promises. We can take him at his word. Do you see that when you open the word up? I'm going to close this in prayer, and worship team, you can come back up. Father, we thank you that even though a lot of your kids are nearsighted and farsighted and cross-eyed and have astigmatism in the spiritual realm, God, that you are so gracious and so generous that if we will call upon that helper to empower our spiritual sight, God, that you are faithful to do that, that you'll open our minds and our hearts to the greatness of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to see you. We want to see you in your written word. We want to see you in our relationships, God. We want to see you in every aspect of our lives so that you will be glorified. God, I pray specifically for the week ahead, for every single person here, every person watching online, God, that we would just be drawn irresistibly to the written word, God. Draw us deeply into the Bible this week, God, that we could drink and feast upon your word and that you would reveal Jesus in new ways and deeper ways with more clarity, God. Remind us of the greatness of the Son of God. Remind us of that amazing love poured out on that cross to pay for our sins. Help us to see it, Lord, in a way that touches our hearts. Take us back to our first love. Help us, Lord. Help your people to be moved, to have that spiritual sight, to be moved in our hearts the way that we should always be moved when we think about the good news of our Savior. And then, God, help us to share that with somebody. Help us to be so filled with joy and so filled with hope and filled with love as we get up off of our knees from spending time in prayer and time in the Word that we've just got to share it with somebody. That we need to share it with somebody. That we can't stay silent. You are faithful, Lord. I pray for every person here, including me, Lord, for this coming week, that you would provide somebody that doesn't know you that we can get into a conversation with.
Yes.
And God, I believe you have that person selected for each one of us. I believe, God, that you love that person and you want to save them because your word says so. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Help us to see that person this week who needs to hear the gospel of Jesus and then open our mouths. Help us, Lord, to tell them. Help us to be witnesses as you say we are witnesses. I was one way, and then I met the Savior. Praise Jesus. I'm not the same person anymore. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to know that, God. Give us sight to see it. Give us boldness to share it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Standing on promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. The howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily by the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. The promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, standing in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the promises of God.
You may be seated. So Danny's not here to read the blessing, so I'll go ahead and share this with you if you would join me in this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. You know, before we do anything else, I know we've got God's grocery. We probably have coffee and donuts left, and we've got a lot of smiling faces to visit with too, and a lot of love to share here. But before we do that, you know, one of the great promises of Jesus is the promise of His peace. He promises His peace, and He always keeps His word. And so I just want to throw this out there that if you, maybe you came in here today without the peace of God, do not leave without it. You don't have to. You don't have to. And sometimes to lay hold of it, He will make us fully fix our hearts and our minds upon Him to claim that promise. But His word says that where sin abounds, His grace abounds all the more. Maybe you've been robbed of that peace because of a sin in your life this week, or maybe somebody else's sin that's tripped you up in some way. But whatever it is, I just want to let you know His grace is bigger than that sin, and He is faithful to keep that promise to give you that peace. So all that to say, this altar is open. And I love you. And He loves you more.
But if you leave here without his peace, I mean, you can get it later. You can get it down at Speedway. But you don't have to leave here without it. I'm here to pray with you. Your other brothers and sisters are here to pray with you. Claim that peace. Claim that peace before you go. It's too beautiful to leave without it. He paid with his blood for you to have that peace. Make sure you have it today. Amen. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.